Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. On Friday, I went down to Arbury to the 113th Lark Allen Killier Day.
I popped along to the Manx Aviation and Military Museum to chat with some of the people displaying the Manx Airlines Advanced Turboprop, which was open to the public at the weekend. And also, I speak to contractor Philip Hampton about how the hay and silage crops have been so far this year. Well, we'll be speaking to Hampy later on in the programme, but all in all, it looks as though, you know, there's been enough breaks in the weather, Kiri, to, you know, to get most of the hay and silage in successfully.
Yeah, there's not been too many complaints around the countryside, albeit
it's unusual.
Absolutely. Yeah. Albeit some of the corn is a bit shorter than most people would expect and gone to ear a little bit sooner than hoped. But generally speaking, there's been a lot of fodder harvested so far, so stocks are looking okay.
Yeah, and a lot of smell of peas around the countryside which is one of the more pleasant smells in the countryside, certainly, isn't it?
And I suppose in the north of the island, there'll be some changes in colour soon with the different crops that get grown. It is wonderful that people are embracing different types of varieties. Lots of herbal lays around and about, obviously adding to a different colour. It's amazing how some of the practices have changed and we're still, though, governed by the weather.
Indeed we are. Well, to find out from the horse's mouth, so to speak, how the silage and hay and contracts and season have been so far, I spoke to Philip Hampton. Well, firstly, Philip, how did the year start?
It's been a pretty good year, to be fair, Simon, for work, really, because we did have a bit of a wet winter, but then it started to dry up in the spring, and we got a good start on the ploughing. We got a lot of ploughing done, and it was a very pretty easy drilling season, really. And it was all worked out pretty well and timely.
But what about the crops themselves?
The crops, they got a pretty good start, but then that dry 6 weeks come, and that didn't really do them any favours. If you were on wetter, heavy ground, you sort of fared a lot better than on the lighter, drier ground, and it has stunted quite a lot of the growth early on, and meant the fertiliser uptake was a bit poor. So some of the crops are maybe not as good as they should be.
But of course, the silage has got underway. Probably a lot of second cuts getting done now. How did the grass fare?
A lot of the earlier stuff we done, we were chopping quite a lot earlier than normal this year, which is the latest trend. But that dry spell had really affected the grass growth in certain fields, and crops were a little bit down, but quality was very, very high. And there has been some very nice silage made.
Obviously, your job takes you around various parts of the Isle of Man. How has the different parts of the island fared? Because obviously it's usually a lot drier at north, is that right?
Well, normally it is, but the only thing is, north is used to it being dry, and when you get these really dry spells, sometimes the south seems to dry out worse because we're not used to it and may have different varieties of grass growing that aren't quite as drought resistant as what some of the northern boys put in.
So it can be difficult on that front, certainly, but is that always been the case where different parts of the island are tending to go for different varieties of seeds?
Yes, I'd say so. Like a lot of these herbal lays that are very popular at the moment, they're quite not a newish thing, but we started putting a lot more of them in south now, whereas there has been lads down in Bride and places like that that would have been growing them 15 years ago just because the different species would be a bit more drought hardy and will last through the dry spells in the summer more.
But does it help you, the difference between the north, the south, east and west of the island, where crops are maybe maturing at an earlier time and different parts of the island a later time? Does that help you with everyone not having it at once? Or does it still happen?
No, not really. It's normally just a bit of a panic stations and the phone starts ringing. And once one starts, which is normally William Duggan, everyone then starts thinking, maybe we'd better make a start and get on with it, I think. So we do sort of tend to lightheartedly blame Will normally.
But you're well geared up, particularly for silage and things, because it's that time of year at the moment, and hay. How much can you get done in a day, Philip?
Normally, with the forage harvester, we like to aim for about 10 acres an hour. So, you know, we can sometimes be doing like 100, 120 acres in a day sort of thing. We try not to push. We don't tend to go and start somewhere else at 8 o'clock at night like these boys away do or anything. We try and be a bit more relaxed than that, and people don't really want you turning up on the yard to start at 9 o'clock at night or something like that, so we are a bit more laid back.
But obviously the machinery you've got, fuel prices could be changing again. You'll be using a fair bit of it in a day, will you?
Yes. The forage harvester, she holds about 1,400 litres.
Of fuel,
yes. Yes, the Shell tank is quite a regular visitor to the yard in busy times.
But all in all, I mean, a lot of the time with contract work, I suppose you stuck out on your own as well with your thoughts, Philip.
Yes. It's funny, really. Mental health is quite a thing that's on, quite a buzzword at the moment. It's on a lot of people's minds. And when you're stuck out in a tractor on your own mind can be a very lonely place at times. I mean, I tend to just turn the radio up a lot louder and maybe sing or something. Like, you know, I may look pretty stupid and I'm a pretty crap singer, but it keeps you sane maybe for the day. And I think it's a thing that we have to be very careful of, because there is people that are struggling, and we can make a lightheartedness of the dry weather and things like that, but it really does affect people. And if people are affected by it, they should reach out for help. I mean, a good friend of mine and yours, Simon, Nicola Kerfey, she's just set up a new venture called I'll Stand for Suicide, which is a great thing. And they've been going around and they're looking to get in contact with groups and things like the Young Farmers and various groups. And they will tell you how to look out for the signs of people that may be suffering from depression and things like that, which can only be a good thing if we can look out for one another.
Philip Hampton there, fairly happy with the progress and what's been going on from his point of view. And it's always difficult, and I suppose, and a great insight into it, because, you know, you grow, if you're the one farmer, you're growing your own grass and silage and crops, and that's more what you're focused on. Where all the contractors around the Isle of Man, they get the chance to see the other crops and different parts of the island, particularly the difference, with the weather makes from one part of the small island to the other.
Well, this is it. It could be sunny in the north and lashing down in the south. And the trouble is, with the windows of opportunity, all of the farmers want the contractor at the same time. So that's always difficult for the contractors to plan their weeks and days ahead. And I'm sure it's a hotline into the Met Office to get it right. But also with the changes in crops and the various things, it's the investment in machinery. Some of the tackle to harvest these crops are, like Philip says, they're quite expensive.
And fairly thirsty on fuel as well. A wonderful Manx Day celebrated down the south last week.
It is incredible how these traditional events are still going on around the Isle of Man. The parish of Arbury, no different, 113th celebration of the La Colum Cilia. And I popped along to see who was there, who was doing the winning, and some very special young ladies. Now I'm with the princess and her attendants. Princess for this year is who?
Eleanor Harrison.
Well, Eleanor, what did you have to do to become the princess?
We had to do a speech in assembly about why we wanted to be princess for La Colum.
And what was the main part of your speech? What did you talk about? What was important to you?
Well, we talked about like memories, like how the community like came together in La Colum.
And have you been at Arbury School for the full 6 years?
Yes.
Yeah. And what's been special about today? Have you been very proud to be the princess?
Yes.
And what did you like most?
I liked going on the stage and doing my speech.
You had to speak in front of all these guests here in the field today?
Yes.
And what did you talk about?
I talked about some of my memories, like, again, and, like, how special it is and how long it's been going for in Arbury.
And how long has it been going for in Arbury?
Over 100 years.
Oh, my word. And do you know what number princess you are?
No.
Not yet. We'll have to find out. And your attendants here today are who?
Ava.
Ava?
And Eva.
And Eva. And Ava, so what's the special part for today for you?
Probably thinking about how many people have worn this.
Oh, and tell our listeners what that is.
It's a little red, like, cloak sort of thing that goes over your shoulders, and Eleanor has a longer one that goes down to her legs.
It's absolutely beautiful in red crushed velvet. And the dresses underneath, was that a pick of your own? And what colour is yours?
I'd say baby pink or dusty pink.
Dusty pink. And what about you? What are you wearing today?
I'm wearing a dress that I found on Shein.
Did you? Yeah. Very modern. And you're also in year six?
Yes, I am.
And how do you find the Lough Colm Kilyar each year?
I find it really fun and enjoyable.
And what's going to be the best part of today, do you reckon?
Spending time with my princess and other attendants.
And for you, Eva, what's your going to be your best part?
Going down the bouncy castle.
Not in this beautiful dress, surely?
Absolutely in this beautiful dress.
Princess, I think you've got your work cut out here with these attendants.
Yes.
And for you, what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Well, probably go round with Eva and Ava and, like, go down the bouncy castle in our beautiful dresses.
And do you think that Tiara's going to stay put?
No.
Well, congratulations, girls. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Well, Tim Glover, the rain has abated. The Fairfield is packed here in Arbury.
I've got my fingers crossed on that rain front.
The Lough Colm Kilyar, what a great day out.
It's a fantastic day. And, we're not blessed with the loveliest conditions again, unfortunately, which has been a bit of a running theme in the last few years, unfortunately. But it's dry, isn't it? And the entries are up as well in the fruit and veg and everything.
You know. Did you get your entries in?
We only got rhubarb in, because, and that's grown really, really well in our garden
this year.
And we've won two cups.
Hey, well done. So you're not going home empty-handed.
No.
But there's so much joy here. The children are running in and out of the exhibition marquees, seeing what they've won, what prizes they're going home with. It's just so well attended.
Do you know what's the loveliest thing? I've literally just come out of the Donny Collister exhibition tent where all the exhibits are, and everybody's clamouring to see whoever won a prize. But the best thing is the kids, you know, they're so excited. Oh, I got first with the flowers, or I got first with potatoes, and that just shapes the future, doesn't it, of an event like this.
Yeah.
That the kids are following in their parents' footsteps and are so excited about going into an exhibition tent.
It's hard to believe we're in the middle of a muddy field, you know.
Yes.
But it is. It is, like you say, the future. And how many years have you been part of this event?
Since I got married to Jane, so well over, coming up for 14 years it'll be. And I was the pariah at first, because the first 2 years I came and was living in Colby, it absolutely poured down. So they were calling me the Jonah, I think.
So,
we've had some really good days since today. Not so great. It's a bit cool, isn't it? But it's dry.
It is dry. And that's what. And have you taken part in any of the sports today?
No.
But what a turnout. Look at all of the vintage machinery. Everybody wants to be part of it. You know, it's a great community event.
Absolutely it is. It's the big community event in Arbury each year. And we've got Maloo Day tomorrow, you know, and St Mark's to look forward to as well. You know, there's so many good things that go on in this constituency, and get people out and about, and you meet so many people and you have so many conversations at a function like this as well. And
that's important for you. You know, you can take those opinions back and maybe shape what's to come as well.
Yeah, and people will bend your ear if they get the opportunity, and that's fine. That's why why you're here, you know, is to show your face and have those conversations if somebody wants to talk to you.
Well, here we are catching up with Raymond Gaughan, Raymond, captain of the parish, official duty. duties today, all suited and booted, and we've arrived here in the exhibition tent with all these beautiful flowers.
Yes, it's quite nice to see as many flowers, like, you know, it's...
It's not been the easiest spell of weather for them either, has it?
Not really, no. But it's quite a variety.
And do you think these will be mostly garden flowers? I remember when I was younger, we used to do a wild flower jug of anything you could find in the hedge, but these look a bit more important than those.
Oh, yes, yeah. But I think you're not allowed to have wild flowers collections now, as far as I know, anyhow.
Oh, like, you wouldn't know, would you? And have you been coming to this all your life, Raymond?
Yep. Yes. No, it's always been, well, I went to Arbury School, so when you go to Arbury School, you're brought up with the Lark Column. And it's been, well, lots of changes, not to my liking, like, but I'm a bit of a pussy beggar, like.
I see. But the sports, I know you used to enjoy the sports. When you were younger,
yes,
take part?
Yeah. Oh, I done lots of running in my day.
I heard you were a very successful runner too.
Could be said.
Go on, what were you good at?
I was a quarter mile champion of the Isle of Man.
That's something very special.
I could run pretty hard, but... I don't know where it's gone now.
You're entitled to have a sit down now, Ray. But it must be something you're very proud of, seeing all these young ones running about here now, it's carried on over 100 years of the Lark Column.
Yes, it's always been more or less the same tradition, like, you know. I am sorry that the headmaster's leaving. Because he's been very good to the school, like, you know.
What would be your best part of the day?
It was good to see the children and the dancing and you know, it was something I hated when I was going to school.
This is true. You weren't keen on the Manx dance, you leave that to the girls.
Ah, yes.
So over the years, it's obviously changed a little bit, but what would be your fondest memory of the Lark Columns?
Well, Father was quite interested in it, and we used to provide a horse and cart to get the
princess
in, like, you know. When you got the horse all trimmed up, like, you know, it was something
really special
to think about, like, you know.
Yeah. No. Sheila Gorn, congratulations, coming away with some silverware yet again.
Well, not yet again, but yeah, thank you.
Oh, not yet again from here.
Oh. I must admit, my raspberry jam took a cut last year, but yeah, I'm over the moon this year. I'm really pleased.
And what have you come away with? Because I see a good few red cards around the room.
I've got a cup for lots of potatoes, two cups. With potatoes, so yeah.
And that's a stiff competition, the potatoes. There's a lot of well-versed people on growing potatoes in this parish.
Yeah, there's a farmers and growers cup and one for just any variety, so yeah.
And how have the potatoes done this year? They look well in the plates and display there.
So far, so good, yeah. Just hope the blight doesn't come in. We keep getting the blight warnings from the weather office, but fingers crossed the blight stays away.
Yeah. Well, they look healthy, and obviously the drying early on in the year, I suppose a few of the growers and gardeners would have been a bit worried about it.
Well, yes, it was getting that way that, and of course it was TT, so we've got to have the rain, haven't we?
Haven't we just? And did you take part in any of the confectionery this year?
Yeah, I've put a few baked goods in, but nothing. But then again, if you don't put in, there's no show.
This is very true.
And always say, you know, people say, you can, oh, I can do better. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Come on.
Have a go.
Bring it on.
This is so true. But you've had a busy afternoon. You've been in the tea tent. Well supported as ever.
Oh, it is, yeah. It's one of the best things here, you know, south of the island. It's always a good communal thing, and that's what it's all about on the Isle of Man.
And do you have to make stuff for the tent yourselves?
Some ladies do. They, year in, year out, they contribute cakes, and then there's a whole band, you can just turn up in the morning and help butter the bread or make the sarnies.
Oh, it's
no invitation needed, just turn up. And help's always appreciated.
Yeah, it's a great community spirit. And I do say the ginger cake in there, well, that was something else.
Yeah, oh, there's still lots of drop scones there. Oh, so get in there for the drop scones.
Well, congratulations, Sheila.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thanks.
Well, Murray Kringle, it looks like it's been a successful day here at the Lark Column. If people are still coming in through the gate. You know, we're well on in the day now.
Yeah, really pleased, Kerry. It's been a great day. Weather's played with us in the end. It didn't rain. A little bit blowy, but apart from that, it went really well. The school were fantastic with their country dancing. And I have to say, no, really, really pleased with how it's gone. And as you said, they're still rolling in. So it's nice.
And that said, Murray, year on year, you know, it seems to be a tradition. But the people are coming from far and wide to the event now.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think we're well established and long going. And he's the chairman in here now.
Yeah.
And I have to say that everything happens in the best parish in the Isle of Man, which of course is Arbury. So we're chuffed to bits and we're really pleased. It's all about community, Lark Column Kilia, and I have to say the school have always bought into the community thing, so they're always well represented and it works well together. So it's making memories for the kids. Let's keep it going. That's what it's all about.
This is it. And have you taken part in any of the exhibitions today, Murray?
None that I could put on the radio anyway.
And what's your favourite part of Lark Column Kilia?
For me, Lark Column Kilia is all about the build-up. So when the first tent goes up on Saturday, when the Colchester boys put the big tent up on Saturday or Monday, and the kids, when they're coming to school, can see the field progress every day. So it builds it up for them all
the
week. It's
across
the road, and hopefully by the weekend they're revving, you know,
and
it makes a great day for them. So.
And has the day change made a difference? Because I remember growing up it was always a Thursday. Now it's on a Friday. Has it made it any better?
Well, it was a request from the parents, I'm told, that it suited better for them with how they work these days. Some may be working at home, but anybody at work, it sort of fits in better to nip along later on a Friday afternoon. So that's why it sort of swung to a Friday.
And you can see that by the numbers, Murray. You know, we're pretty much late on in the day here now. And, you know, still the excitement right around the field and the music's going and everybody's having a great time.
Yeah, and we're into the sports now. So I was going to go and get me running shorts on maybe and we'll have a go with the three-legged race.
So, Phil Kringle, Murray's getting ready here for the three-legged race.
Yeah.
You going to join him?
Yeah, me and him. Yeah, go really well, that, wouldn't it?
Well, Phil, as chairperson of the Lark Column Kilia, how's it been for you?
It's good, yeah. We've had a good day. The weather held for us, which is nice. And we've had loads of kids doing the sports again, which is good. We haven't had that for a few years, that sort of participation. So, yeah, really chuffed with it this year. Yeah, it's gone pretty smooth.
And for an event like this, Philip, it takes a lot of pulling together before and after the event.
Yeah, I mean, there's an army of volunteers who give up their time in the week leading up to it, and we need more time off them to take it all down after today. And, you know, things like this, it's the same as all the local events. They don't go ahead if people like that aren't willing to sacrifice their time. So really grateful to all them, grateful to all our sponsors. We've got a lot of sponsors. I won't mention them individually because no doubt I'll miss them. But it's all local businesses all trying to help. Do you know what I mean? It's a proper community event. So no, we've had a good day. Pretty chuffed.
And I've asked everybody I've spoken to today, what's your favourite part of Lark Column Kilia?
The tea tent, obviously, the food, yeah. There's no surprises there yet.
I was talking to Raymond Gorn earlier,
yeah.
And he said there was nearly a whoopsie with a bench in there.
I would like to say it was his fault. It was his weight going on it, but I don't think you can say that about a CP, can you? So I'll have to take the blame for that one. I'll cover for him this time, yeah.
There we go. That was the young ladies, Eleanor Harrison, Ava Rose Castain and Eva Ramsey, MHK Tim Glover, Captain of the Parish, Raymond Gorn, and prize winner, Sheila Gorn, along with Murray Kringle and chairman of the event, Philip Kringle.
Wonder how the three-legged race went. I'm intrigued by that one, to be fair. But always great supporters of us, and great to hear from them as well. And such a tradition down the south, isn't it? Wonderful.
It really is. And to stay for the raffle at the end, to buy the homemade jams, cakes and fruit and veg, what an opportunity to taste nothing better than local parish grown stuff. It was incredible.
Yeah, and what an honour to be the princess.
Oh, Eleanor Harrison, yeah. Her speech was incredible. And what a bright future that young lady has. Oh.
You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, one of the features you'll see when you drive past or walk past or run past the Isle of Man Airport is the wonderful ATP aircraft, all restored in the Manx Airlines colours. I went along to an open day they had at the weekend to find more about the history of Manx Airlines and the plane. Well, Barry Collister, it's great to be aboard G Maud, well, the Manx Airlines ATPs, which is down here at the Isle of Man Aviation and Military Museum on display. And, of course, open weekend, and it's fabulous to get the chance to get on it here.
Yes, it's lovely to be able to display something which is like the old ATPs that served the island so well over many years.
And I think it's, you know, people of a certain age will remember fondly the Manx Airlines colours, the three legs of man chocolate that you got on the sweets when you got on board. And to see it here in its glory, it is marvellous. It's just part of the Isle of Man.
Yes, so many of the visitors have really happy memories of travelling with Manx Airlines. As you say, the chocolates and various other things that were very peculiar to the Isle of Man at the time. To Manx Airlines. It's lovely, but we also had quite a lot of visitors who come along and get to learn a little bit about the history of the airline and this particular aircraft.
Now, the ATP, made by British Aerospace, if I recall, but there wasn't that many of them made, is there?
In total, 65.
That's all?
Yeah, and that's a great shame.
When you look at the photographs here of... I can't believe this is the same aircraft. Tell us how it changed from this one to the one you've got on display now.
Well, as you say initially, it was a complete wreck. It had no engines, no rudder, nothing in the interior, whatever, no instrumentation. And initially, our first job was to try and make it look like a Manx Airlines aeroplane. So we were able to take it into a hangar, and it was hand-painted there by two guys, Andy Hall and Mark Harris. And they made sure it was an exact replica of the colour schemes, that one of the colour schemes that Manx Airlines had used. And after that was completed, we were able to have the aircraft towed across to where it is now in the museum. Subsequent to that, we were able to get the interior of another aircraft and convert it back to a passenger format from the basic stripped-back condition that it was in before. So it's now not looking exactly like a Manx Airlines aircraft on the interior, in that, for instance, we have Portuguese language above the exit signs, because this particular interior was used in an aircraft that flew in Portugal. But fundamentally, this is like the Manx Airline aircraft that everybody knew and loved.
How long did it take to change it from the original poor state to the wonderful restoration job that your team have done?
Well, when we originally signed up for it, it was in August 2018. And we were able to open this to the public in Easter of this year. So that's, what, 7 years?
It's not too bad when you see the photographs, because people can still come and have a look around it, can't they, at the weekends?
Yes, we're open from 10 until 4 o'clock every Saturday and Sunday through until October. And the museum is open at the same time. And as well as this aircraft, the museum is a wonderful place for people to explore.
Mm. Any of them still flying around the world today?
As far as I'm aware, there are four in East Africa and a couple in Europe. But it's out of the 65. As far as I'm aware, there are only half a dozen left.
Mm. Well, it's fairly unique then by the sounds of things. 65 in the whole world made, and one or two of them still flying. And you've got one just about how it was originally.
Yes, we were just so lucky that we knew they were being scrapped in the UK, and we knew they were being scrapped here on the island too. And to see one
looking very sad for itself, parked by the hangars. We didn't really believe that we could just write a letter and say, can we please have it, and that we would actually have it in our possession in the first place. So it's a real sense of pride that we've actually taken it from the state it was in and now can present it as an authentic aeroplane for people to examine.
Well, a quick chat with one of the people who flew the ATPs, Peter Davis. Great to have a quick chat with you in the cockpit of this ATP. What was it like to fly?
It was great fun to fly. Solid aircraft. Not the fastest, but quite good. Became reasonably reliable after its initially arrived here. I did it, flew it for 10 years.
Really? 10 years? Yeah, and what was the main route? I suppose it was Liverpool the main route from the Isle of Man then?
Isle of Man, Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham were probably our key routes. There'd be a couple of Birminghams a day, I think, and three or four Manchesters. And a typical day would be three Liverpools, one after the other in the morning, starting early. There and back, there and back, there and back.
A bit of lunch in the middle, though.
Well, just about, yeah. Yes, if there was time.
Wow.
But it was only a 20-minute flight, so it was quite busy.
And when you think about it, you think, oh, well, that's not much of a flight, 20 minutes. When you look at the long flights they've got now and they've got the rest in the crews and stuff, must have been absolutely full-on takeoff, landing.
Yeah, it was very busy. You do the takeoff, and as you were taking off, you were thinking about how you're going to handle the landing when you got there. You get in the cruise, you'd have maybe 5 minutes in the cruise to check the weather, to talk to the passengers, to do all that sort of stuff, and then you'd be down flying the approach into Liverpool.
Wow. When you look at it as the EasyJet A319 or 320 takes off above us here, you also flew a lot of the other aircraft the Manx Airlines had as well, Peter.
Yeah, when I first came here, I started on the Short 360, the Shed, as it was lovingly known.
Did you like that one?
I didn't fly it for, I think, about 6 months. So, yes, I was cutting my teeth on island flying in those days. And then I came onto the ATP, first as a first officer and then as captain and training captain. So, yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, and obviously trips not just to Liverpool, Manchester. Some of them obviously were flying to Heathrow then. I mean, what sort of contrast was that? The nice, quiet, you know, part of the Isle of Man airport heading to the heart of London at Heathrow.
Heathrow, yes, was interesting to go to. We used to go there on a Sundays. The jet didn't operate it in those days. And that was really nice. Biggest worry about there was getting lost on the taxiways because it was huge. But yeah, that was nice.
But I mean, you know, not many of them made, and I suppose technology moved on so quickly. Was that the reason why?
No, the ATP was quite advanced for its time. But yet, again, things moved on. However, it was an efficient aeroplane. Going down to Heathrow, the 146 would use a couple of tons of fuel. This would use less than a ton of fuel to go down there. Wow. And only take an extra 5 minutes more. So,
and obviously looking at the dials, some of the old style dials in here, but a couple of sort of modern looking computer screens, as I'd call them.
Yes, it's the first generation EFIS, the Electronic Flight Information System. This was probably some of the first used in aircraft, and they're all pretty much, they all have EFIS nowadays. But the interesting thing about the EFIS on this is that it's the old cathode ray tube rather than the instant picture you get with your iPad now. So you turn it on in the morning, it would take time to warm up, and when you turned it off at the end of the day, it would disappear, just like the old cathode ray tube televisions used to, with a dot in the middle.
So great to see it restored and for the general public to have a look inside of how things were.
Yeah, we would recommend everybody come and have a look, come and sit in the flight deck as you are, and have a look around and talk to us.
There we are. What a wonderful sight, and what a wonderful to hear from the people involved in the restoration of that aircraft. It's such a
prestige part of the Isle of Man in its day, wasn't it?
Well, this is it. Air travel alone is such a huge success, and how they keep developing it and making it a comfortable journey. But those days back then, the innovation to get into the air and to have it restored back into its former glory is absolutely incredible. Lots of volunteers giving up their time, and you've obviously been a big fan of air travel.
Yes, get stick about it at times, but always enthusiastic. Chris Williams and myself are going on holiday together. But that's what, we'll leave it there on this week's Country Show. We're back next week with more. So until then, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kiri Kermode.
We'll see you next week. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.